Today we are celebrating humanism as one of the sources of Unitarian Universalism. Is humanism really one of our sources? The last time I looked, half of us UUs are humanists. Humanism doesn't seem so much like a source as a presence. But beyond that, American humanism traces its origin back to the first Humanist Manifesto of 1933, from which you heard a reading. By the way, 15 points, oh, you're getting off easy, considering what the Puritans had to put up with. Of the 34 people who signed the manifesto, 7 were clearly Unitarian ministers and 1 Universalist. I'm told actually 11 of them were Unitarians. So if anything, we are the source and humanism is the offshoot. The original Humanist Manifesto called for religious humanism. American humanism has since moved on to become an ideology, which is to say, a philosophy with an agenda. The newest Humanist Manifesto is not about religious humanism, but I want to look back at the first Humanist Manifesto to remind ourselves of the project we started 85 years ago, building a religious humanism. From my personal point of view, religious humanism connects with the central contradiction of my life. As a teenager, as soon as I could read adequately well, I began studying both science and religion. I wanted to combine them. About age 13 or 14, radio evangelists converted me to atheism. I knew that rationally agnosticism was better justified, but it just didn't have the passion. Given the town I was in, I got little support for developing my new ideas. Actually, the other kids held occasional witch hunts with me as honorary witch. The nearest UU church was over 50 miles away. Not that I would have had known to go there anyway. I really needed the first Humanist Manifesto, but in its absence, I had to work out the ideas for myself. I'm amazed at how close I came to the principles of the Humanist Manifesto number 1. Let's face it, American society has serious questions about humanism. Here are some I get from my relatives, among others. They ask me, do humanists believe in God? Most of the humanists I know are atheists. As you heard in the Humanist Manifesto number 1, the original proponent said, we are convinced that the time has passed for theism, deism, etc. That's pretty much of a call for atheism. They ask me, is humanism some sort of new religion or religious denomination? In the Humanist Manifesto number 1, religious humanism was proposed as a basis for a new theology. It doesn't require a new denomination. There was no real need to start a new denomination. After all, we UUs are the humanist denomination to about 50%. It doesn't require a new religion as much as a renewed one. Many liberal Protestant churches now incorporate religious humanist principles. Their sermons are full of encouraging suggestions for living, relegating the traditional sin and salvation talk to Wednesday evenings. I recently amused myself by going around to the churches that advertised non-believers are welcome. I asked 2 questions. If they remain non-believers, are they welcome to remain? If the answer was still yes, then may they become officers in the church? Mostly people were startled by the thought, but I met a minister of a United Methodist church who thought a moment and said, there'd have to be church members. And the only requirement for church membership is that you take Jesus as a role model. A role model? That's a considerable change from taking him as a facet of God and a personal savior. You may be seeing a contradiction. I said that the first humanist manifesto called for a new theology, but that humanism is mostly atheistic. And the word theology comes from theo and logos, meaning God talk. We UUs have come into the middle of a conversation and the words have already been chosen. We have to adapt them. In this denomination, theology is defined as reflection on the meaning and purpose of life and the articulation of those reflections. No God required. I am asked, why would humanists be moral without a God? Liberal Christians may say that they are moral out of gratitude to God for salvation. Christians on the other extreme might say they are moral out of fear of God or fear of hell. We humanists might say we are moral because we are social animals. We need deeply meaningful interpersonal relationships. Moral behavior is required for participation in society and close relationships. Actually, people are moral for none of those reasons. Part of the brain here, just above the eyeballs, figures out what the social rules are and encourages us to comply with them by way of positive and negative emotions. That is to say, moral behavior is an end in itself. It comes from the emotions, from the normal brain functioning. Giving reasons implies that morality is only a means to an end. For the means we use, we can give reasons. For the ends we pursue, we can only give rationalizations. I am asked, what do you get? We get eternal life. What do you get? It's not always phrased so confrontationally. My sister-in-law once said she wondered how people without a belief in God felt facing death alone. I said, we don't face death alone. We face death within our community. That response was missing the point of her question, of course, but she dropped the subject for the time being. Nevertheless, since humanists don't believe in a supernatural realm, we often get compared to believers regarding our relationship to death. We get eternal life. What do you get? Actually, I doubt believers do get eternal life. I can't totally rule it out, but I estimate the probability to the nearest 10 billionth of a percent as zero. I would say that we don't get eternal life, but we do have a more peaceful death. Now, the assumption of those who believe in an afterlife, is that their belief makes dying easier for them. Their faith will cast out fear. But is that true? There are two things beyond illness that make death hard, the fear and the grief. In neither of these do the believers come out ahead. First, fear goes straight through the amygdala, bypassing the neocortex, no ideas you have will be able to intervene. You will feel fear, whatever you believe. And if the believer is in one of those hellfire churches, death will be even more terrifying. Then there's grief. A hospital chaplain once told me that he met many people who were dying, and the people who did not believe in an afterlife but just accepted death had an easier time dying than those who did believe in an afterlife. Let me repeat, the people who did not believe in an afterlife but just accepted death had an easier time dying. Here's a way to understand that. We grieve. After working through the first four stages, we reach the final stage, acceptance. Then we are at peace. The first stage of grief is denial. Belief in an afterlife is clinging to the first stage, refusing to complete the process, refusing to embark on it. Besides, belief in an afterlife isn't for the dying. It gives other people something to say to the dying, imagining they are comforting them. The dying are imposed on, trying to comfort the comforters, assuring them that, yes, their words make them feel better, and yes, you would-be comforter, do not need to fear death. I'm asked, do humanists believe in anything bigger than themselves? The most important stories of our lives are not about us. They are about the groups we are members of. They are about family, country, culture. They are about the social causes we are devoted to. The connection gives meaning and purpose to life. The humanist cause is building a world where all people can fulfill their potential. As the First Humanist Manifesto says, religious humanism considers the complete realization of human personality to be the end of human life and seeks its development and fulfillment in the here and now. This is the explanation of the humanist's social passion. Or as the third humanist manifesto puts it, humanists are social by nature and find meaning in relationships. Humanists long for and strive towards a world of mutual care and concern, free of cruelty and its consequences, where differences are resolved cooperatively without resorting to violence. The joining of individuality with interdependence enriches our lives, encourages us to enrich the lives of others, and inspires hope for attaining peace, justice, and opportunity for all. This is the larger cause to which we humanists are part. This cause is about human life in this world. How do you feel about this cause? Is this cause enough for you? Is this world enough for you? Then be part of bringing about this world we seek.